This episode of the Two Fit Crazies in a Microphone podcast is brought to you by TFC Productions.
Two Fit Crazy Productions, TFC Productions. That's our production company helping people with their podcasts.
Increase your brand, grow your business by creating your very own podcast. And we are here to help you every step of the way.
You do not have to do all the work. We do a lot of it for you.
This podcast is also brought to you by ContiFit.com. Get the best online training, the best in arthritis, in, let's face it together, facial fitness and rehabilitation, all sorts of functional fitness training at your fingertips. That's ContiFit.com.
Also brought to you by High Five Health and Fitness. Virtual health coaching sessions and corporate wellness programs. All the information at highfivehealthandfitness.com.
It is Christine Conti.
And I'm Brian Prendergast.
And we are Two Fit Crazies.
And the microphone.
We are where it's at. Brian, how awesome was our guest today?
She is a lot of fun. I liked it a lot.
Oh my goodness. I'm trying to do her right. I'm trying to do her Nigerian background right. And catchy, Nwafor Robinson.
That's right.
Was fan-freaking-tastic today. She is the CEO, founder of Empowered in My Skin, which is a podcast, which is a movement, which is
a brand.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, the website, everything, Empowered in My Skin. And she does she's just such a fun person. Enthusiasm beyond the normal scope of enthusiasm.
Oh yeah, you're going to hear all about her story today. Of, you know, again, she didn't talk about it a lot, but she is a pretty great high up job in business in a company, and in addition to that, she has been involved with bodybuilding and fitness and nutrition and, again, starting this podcast, this movement, Empowered in My Skin. She is the real deal. And you're going to hear a story of, and I wrote this down, of how great of a human can I be in this world? I just want to amplify good. Listen up as she talks about her own journey of, you know, originally why she got into bodybuilding and fitness. And how the whole why changed.
If that's your mission for the day or life, you could just imagine what that looks like, in going through anything that you do. The outlook and the decisions are made based on that being the goal. It's just nothing but extraordinary. And she's fantastic. And we laugh and we have tell stories. And it's a.
She's got the best laugh ever, correct?
I agree. And, she calls Christine the lead domino. Christine is a lead domino.
Well, but her name also means
God's gift.
Right.
So we get it. After this conversation, I think you will too. So please, let's get into this one. I think you're going to enjoy it a whole lot. Here we go.
Christine Conti.
And I'm Brian Prendergast.
And we are Two Fit Crazies.
And the microphone.
We are where it's at. Brian.
Yes.
How you doing today?
I'm graced with God's gift. I'm excellent.
Yeah.
Better than good.
We're real excited about today's episode. We've got an amazing, just, you know, firework of a woman and also fellow podcaster, fellow just amazing innovator in the fitness and wellness industry and beyond. She's super intelligent as well. It's beautiful, of course. And catchy.
Yay! Yeah, the Nigerians have been mad at that. They're not going to be mad at that.
All right. I've been practicing, which also happens to mean God's gift.
Yes, it does.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome. I love it. You know, so funny, because I listen to some of your episodes. I'm like, do they do that intro in person? Am I going to have them say two sits and a crate?
It's just to lighten the mood, right? It's just to lighten the mood, because every time we do it, our guests start cracking up. So, yeah, it's a good intro.
Yeah, that was awesome. I love that. I got to see it. I got to see it live.
That's it. You are now part of the select group.
I'm part of the club. I'm part of the club. I love it.
You're now a fit crazy, an official fit crazy. Once you come on the show, and
I'll take that
and go through. So tell our listeners from around the world, where are you coming to us from?
Oh my gosh, Toronto, Ontario. Oh, but it's, yeah. I'm. You know, just doesn't sound as hot as like Maryland, oh. Dallas, Texas.
I'll be honest with you. I love Toronto. Toronto's like, mm-hmm. Honestly, once they lift the ban, we might have to get up there because we meet, we interview a lot of people
from CanFit Pro next year.
From Canada.
Oh, there you go.
And, and the Canadians are amazing and everything, like just the spirit of Toronto is awesome. I mean, it's really...
Yeah, what? Okay, I have to take that back, because anyone from Toronto that hears me say that would be like, what, Inc? No, I big up Toronto. I big up Toronto. Toronto's a great place. You know, if our weather was amazing, we'd be overpopulated.
Right.
Yeah.
It's an amazing place. I mean, I got a big problem with Drake, but other than that, Toronto's good. No, I do. I have a beef with Drake.
Okay.
Why?
Because he picked on my homegirl. My neighbor growing up was Doris Burke, who's the basketball announcer for ESPN, right?
Okay.
So it's she was Doris Sable back in the day, and I used to rebound for her, and she's awesome, and she's an NBA and ESPN basketball analyst, and like Drake like was trying to clown her or something like that, like he was just kind of like picking on her. And he was like having like these like weird like Christmas sweaters made with her face on it, and was like, "I love you, Doris." And he was like starting this like shit. I thought, I just thought he was being corny. And I'm like, "Yo, that's my girl. I used to rebound for her back in the day. Like, get out of here. She's Manasquan High School, and you better back off, right, Drake?" So now we got beef. That's my deal. He doesn't know me, but listen,
if
Drake,
if you run into him,
it's coming, Drake. It's coming.
Oh, my goodness.
Fit crazy for nothing. All right. Hell of a start here, guys.
No comment.
Oh, my goodness. Anyhow, we will be, aside from Brian, I will be anyway. I mean, he's going to be in trouble.
The Mounties are going to meet me at the
right,
border.
Exactly. You're not going to get across now. Do you understand this? I love you, Drake, by the way. I've only been there in the summer, and it's beautiful. I will not come visit, though, in the winter. I'm just going to throw that out there.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Even now the weather is really gorgeous, and I was just expressing with my girlfriend in there, like, you know what? Thank God we have winter, because if this was the weather all year round, like, everybody would live here. Mm-hmm. Toronto's that awesome. Yeah.
It's awesome.
Oh, my gosh. So we are, as I always say, that our guests do not just fall on our podcast. And speaking of CanFit Pro, which is like the biggest Canadian fitness convention in Toronto that's held every year, and the last couple of years it's been virtual, which is really sad, because I have to say, CanFit Pro treats their instructors and everyone who comes to present for them like rock stars.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, my gosh. Like, you feel special. You feel like, a real professional.
Shout out to Mohegan.
They really do a good job. And also the VIP party, which is like all out, dancing DJs. You get dolled up, drinks, food, whatever. I mean, not everyone does that. And it's such a bonding experience and uplifting. And it really puts the fitness community together.
Yes, and it does.
Especially when, there's always this idea of like, and I want these, consumers and clients, and really there's enough to go around, everybody. Like, we work together, we're all gonna be lifted up. And I got to cross paths with Ketchy. I'm really trying. Got to cross paths because we got to cross paths for a CanFit Pro, just like
panel,
you know, panel about podcasting, about marketing. And I'm like, wow, she's something. I like her energy.
Well, I saw the same about you.
I need some more of that.
I was like, who's that? Who's that?
I need some more of that in my life. So, of course, I'm like, hey, we need to talk. And we need to talk on air. And then finding out, you know, your background and what you do, I'm like, oh, I love you. We're new best friends. So,
but we had a good conversation because I already had you on my podcast.
Oh my
gosh, was awesome!
Oh my, yes. Yeah, we laughed.
Wonder Woman.
We laughed for like 15 minutes, maybe, and then had some words in between. But tell our listeners right now the how, the who, the why. How did you get into podcasting and fitness and, you know, get your voice heard around the world, because your voice is around the world. We're going to touch upon that. So how did this start? Because I know that you may have a little day job.
Yeah. I have a big day job. So let me start with fitness, because I think fitness was first. And so I've actually been active since I was a kid. My dad played, you know, pretty competitive. He played for McGill University, which is one of our big universities in Canada. And he played that competitive football, soccer.
Right.
And so I've had a soccer ball at my feet when I was 6 years old. And then I played competitively myself. And then I married up my fitness with, I got into bodybuilding at the age of 18. I walked into the gym at my college and I met up with Andre Beijing, who was actually a Mr. Canada. And he looked at me and he said, you look like a bodybuilder. So anyway, I didn't know what that actually meant, but I'm very grateful to have met him, because he taught me how to train with weights from, you know, the right, with right form, right from the get go. So I never stopped training since I was 18. And I played competitive soccer until about the age of 25, when I actually broke my knee. And just being, I was at that time, I had a progressive role, which I'm sure we'll get to in terms of what I'm paid for to do in life. And I was like, okay, soccer is not going to work anymore. And it was kind of hard to continue to play at that competitive level and travel and work and all this, any other. And I'd seen a girlfriend of mine was doing bodybuilding, and she invited me to a show. And I fell in love. I fell in love with the sport. I love the fact that they actually brought in a more feminine side of it. So at the time it was called Figure. And since I was already weight training, it was really about changing my diet. And that was really my introduction to what I'd call the fitness industry, right? At that point in time, because then I started getting into supplements and understand the supplement game, and then training and nutrition, and then shows and, you know, other teams and trainers and stuff like that. And so, and then the, just the whole craziness of this billion-dollar industry, right? And I fell in love. I did my first show, and I've never looked back. And I've been competing since 2005, and it's been awesome. And I worked my way up to the pro ranks in the International Federation of Bodybuilding, and I competed there for a couple of years, took some time off, and then went back on stage in 2019 after like 4 years off, and then and now I'm going to try one more time. I turn 50 next year. And I'm like, why not do it for 50? Why not bring out that bling and the bathing little bikini?
Good for
and
you.
Flex a muscle or two. So, yeah. So that was kind of my foray into the fitness industry. But in the hiatus that I took the 4 years, I think for me, a lot of it was, and you probably can appreciate that, it's not the healthiest industry to be in at times, right? Especially if you're not, I'm going to say, if you're not whole, if you're like not a really, you know, whole in the soul kind of human. And that's what I realized was really lacking in my life, right? Like I was literally, for a big portion of it, I would get ready for stage because I wanted to look that way. So it was very unhealthy eating patterns I had. And just this desire to always have a six pack. And it's just, that's just not possible, you know? And so in that time frame, I started to really take time to get to know who I was, like on the inside, like the inner me, you know, and that journey just unlocked, you know, much way better results for myself than any fitness journey could, right? Any journey to get on stage. And as part of that, I started to feel a lot more empowered in my skin. And finally, I wasn't about titles. It wasn't about, you know, looking good and, you know, how good can I look in a bikini and this, any other. It was really about how great of a human can I be to this world. you know, and can I actually touch all four corners of the world with my heart? And I start to use my voice, right, to start to share my story and just empower other people and all my interactions. And I think the podcast came as a part of, you know, what other tentacles can I extend myself through to, you know, one, connect with other humans, put voices that matter in places where they should be to amplify good for the world. And if I could be part of that, you know, then I, yeah, podcasting made sense. I listened to so many podcasts. If I think about my personal journey around, you know, people, you know, Oprah's podcast, and, you know, just tells you, you know, you just got to look in the good of life, you know? And I'm like, okay, Oprah, I'm going to do that starting tomorrow. Or, you know, so many other podcasts that just fed into my spirit. And so I love podcasts, and I'd be like, you know what? I can do that too, you know? And I just decided to start. That's really it.
Mm-hmm. And the name of your podcast is?
Empowered in My Skin. So you. I had the company before I had the podcast. So Empowered in My Skin is a company. I birthed it. It was initially called like Embodiment, but then I changed it. I rebranded it to Empowered in My Skin. And now the podcast is just, it's just part of the business.
You know, I'm so glad that you brought up, because it was a question that I wanted to ask you about bodybuilding and that particular, you know, slice of the fitness industry, and how, you know, like you said, it can be unhealthy. It can be, it can be very rigid, and it's an extremely, just dedicated type of fitness.
You could say selfish.
Look, I'm a distance runner. I'm a distance runner, and it's the same thing. We can do it in a very unhealthy way. We can do it to extremes. We can do it and be selfish. We can do it and chase times on a clock and, you know, leave our family at the curb while we do it. You know, so I understand it completely. And I've always, you know, we've had a few bodybuilders and you know, some people that are going on stage to do that type of thing. And I've always kind of seen all the similarities, just even in the training itself, you know, tapering down and coming into, you know, prepping like for fine tuning for the event itself and things. There's a lot of parallels in it. It's really good. And I think that it's awesome that, you know, you did see that big like spiritual void in it. You know, it's something. So tell us a little bit more about that. I mean, obviously it's a big part of your life. So how did bodybuilding change once you discovered that part was missing in it?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, when I started in 2005, I think about like, I've never been like overweight or anything like that, but I've had fat on my body that I haven't needed. Right. And my first show took me about 25 weeks to prepare for and to get myself to what they call like Olympic. Like I literally went to like Olympic facility and had myself tested because I was just like, wow. I mean, I saw body parts I never even knew existed. Right. And I was at like 2% body fat, which is really bad for my first competition. That's how low I got. Yeah. I was so lean my first competition. I've never done that again because that's actually not healthy. And so imagine I started at like 155 and 25 weeks later, I was like 128, just muscle. Right. And I dehydrated for the competition. And this is what happened. I didn't know much about, I really didn't understand the science of the sport. I just had a trainer. She got me ready. And a day after I competed, I went and had my favorite food at the time, Chinese food.
Yeah. Oh my.
Always seems like a good idea at the time. You know, food always seems like a good idea. You get way too much. You eat it way too fast.
It's so tasty. It's so good.
So much sodium, but after being dehydrated for like 32 hours.
I have arthritis. I become a blowfish if I eat.
I blew up like 25 pounds in like, yeah. So that was, we went Sunday afternoon, and by Monday I was 25 pounds heavier than I had been on stage on Saturday.
Oh crazy. My gosh.
Yeah. My knees were swollen and I had to go to the hospital, my doctor, and she prescribed the first time I ever did like a pharmaceutical, for training. I took a pharmaceutical diuretic. Why am I don't feel like that word? I just said that word, right? But anyway, a prescribed diuretic. And then I lost 11 pounds, but I could never beyond that, I couldn't get back to, like, I was trying to get back to that stage look, you know, but I couldn't stay with that same rigid, regimen of eating, the training is fine, but it's the eating. And suddenly when you open yourself up to like, okay, I'm not getting ready for a show, I guess I can eat this and I can, anyway, it was just a hot mess. And I realized I was a little bit of a depressive state. I'd look at my body every single day in the mirror and it would look different to me, like, than it did before I even started competing for the full show. And that mental, I stayed in that mental state. And then it became, I would compete every year just to be able to look good, you know? And that's not healthy. It's not healthy in your relationships. It's not healthy just personally in life and whatnot. And I did that for probably about 6 years. So it was a really long time. Then I had this great opportunity. No, it was actually 5 years. And then I had this great opportunity to go to India. And it was my time in India and by myself that I started to feel a little bit like a little bit of a disconnect. Like I couldn't really put my finger on it. I had no idea it was like a spiritual disconnect. But I just felt like a little bit of a disconnect. And I had met somebody there and, that got me into the whole thought around loving myself more. You know, there's something about finding that love within yourself instead of craving it from the outside world. And so to answer your question, after when I stepped on stage, and then anyway, I can compete after that. And it was a little bit better because now I had a smarter trainer. I trained with Mike Davies. He's an amazing trainer out in Ohio. Has put like over, I was his 300th pro that he made pro.
Wow.
And I still train with him to this day. And he's just phenomenal. Like the way, like he took care of me as an athlete. Like he does, like he's more about making sure that we get to stage healthy. And so that's where my mindset started to shift, but still not really truly connected with the why I'm doing this. And that really came from the moment where I stepped off stage. Like it was in that moment, I was a pro at this time. I was in Chicago competing at the Chicago Pro. And I looked the best I've ever looked in my life. The best I've ever looked competing. And I was in the last call out. And that was the worst I've ever placed. So the best I've ever looked, the worst I've ever placed. And it's because I'm a natural athlete. And I mean, there's just not everybody competes naturally, especially in the pro leagues. And so you can imagine how I look comparative to like the people that were in the first call out. And I made that decision on that day. Like I felt so good being on that stage, looking the way I did. And it didn't matter that I was in the last call out. And then I said, you know what? I want to delve into that a little bit further. I want to understand what was it in that moment that made me, that some people would take that as a complete loss, total rejection, but I couldn't be more proud of myself. It makes me emotional when I think about it. And I walked off that stage and it was shortly after that I started to do the personal work. And when I competed in 2019, Brian, it was more about who can I bring along with me for this journey? It wasn't, I'm doing this, but my why really is to continue to empower other humans to just be better. And I have the capacity, the platform, and the influence to be able to help somebody else succeed as well as I step on stage, to let them step onto the stage of their lives. And a girlfriend of mine, became my ride and die. She started to wake up early like me. She was not an early, she first time she ever stepped into the gym at 5 a.m. in the morning, she was dragging her ass initially. That's okay. I'll let her listen to the podcast. You were dragging your ass, Trisha. Just admit it. You were dragging your ass. And then until one day I see her walking with the swag. I see her past the 20s, past the 25s, past the 30s, go up and pick up a 40-pound weight. And I was like, whoa, where did this swagalicious girl come from? And, it fired up her fitness journey. And she was my ride and die. Sometimes she did doubles with me and that's what it's about. Like anything that we do in life, it should always be about how can we give back to somebody else,
It's a whole lot of freedom in what you just said right there. All of it.
I think there's a point where, we're always chasing in any profession, anything that you're doing, you're chasing that extrinsic, glory. You want the compliments, you want that. And then there's a point in your life, and I hope that everyone gets to this point, because in all honesty, not everyone makes it to the point of loving themselves and saying, I don't have to do this. I don't need to prove anything to anybody else. I'm unapologetically who I am, and love it or hate it, that's not on me. Here's who I am. Here's what I believe in. Here's my mission. And, I think of, even now I'm running on Monday in Boston and people are like,
oh gosh,
what's going to be your time? What are you going for? Are you going to this? And I go, honestly, you know what, we just went through a pandemic and I'm happy to be healthy. I'm happy to be able to be out again. I said, I have no expectations except I'm going to go out there and I'm going to enjoy the day. And
right.
that's
and you're
really
running. Like you're doing something that the majority of the world is not doing.
In the greatest race in the world.
But you know, I was talking to someone this morning and they're like, oh, are you ready? Are you nervous? Are you? And I'm like, I don't know. No, I'm never ready. Nope. I'm going to just go out and jog with a couple, you know, maybe 30,000 people or so. And he's shaking his head at me like, oh my God, I can't. And I said, I know, I'm just not normal. It's fine. You can't have that pressure on yourself. You're out there to be healthy and to show other people that, you know, yes, they can do it too, whatever they're going through. And that's what it's about. That's why we podcast. Let's get some messages out there that, hey, we all struggle. We all have got to find the love for ourselves. It doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes we got to be kicked down over and over and over and over and over.
Yeah.
And over.
We can, head, yeah.
Right. Until we wake up and it's just, you know, you get it. You woke up. Ryan woke up. I woke up. That's why we're here. And
that's why we have the best time, too.
Yeah, that's what it is. Right. It is. You know, people are jealous.
None of it matters. None of the other stuff matters.
Right. You know, we could be serious sometimes, but not all the time.
So what's this? What's the 50? The drive towards 50 here and getting back on stage and competing. What's that looking like? What's the timetable? How far out are you? And you know, you really started to hit it yet?
Yeah, you know, it's so funny because, you know, 50, people talk about 50 like it's old. And I don't know where old is.
It's the new 30. I don't know what you're talking about. 50 is the new 30.
I'm kind of excited because I know that I'm going to be a bad dude when I'm 50, right? Because I'm 46 and like running wise, when you get a new age group, it's like game on. Like I'm going to eat these older ones that, you know, I'm going to be racing against a 59-year-old. He's done. Right. So like, this is like, I'm going to kill everybody. So yeah, but so when and where and what's the deal?
Yeah. So yeah, 50 is next September. So September 8th, to be exact. Anyone that's listening wants to send me a big 50 something, you know? But yeah, no, it's just, like I said, I don't know. People talk about it being old. I don't. I think I talk about it more of, like, to me, it's like, wow, I'm a half a century. And what have I, like, look at what I've accomplished and look what I get to do, you know, and look at the life I get to live. And there's just so much blessings. And so for me, it's like, how can I challenge myself going into 50? Like, fine, it's supposed to be a milestone. Let's make it a milestone of a year. And so I know I want to do something scary. I know I want to do something very challenging. I actually just stepped into a new role in my career. And so by the time I get to, I will have been in it for about, I want to do something really different in my career, like the career I'm paid for. And then I just want to meet more people. I just want to meet new people. And I want to know that I'm doing as much as I can to change this awesome world, you know? And so, yeah, 50 is great. It's just a number, to be quite honest. I don't look it. Most people don't even guess it. I have to tell people I am. So I have a couple of things lined up and big party, hopefully in Jamaica with friends and family and skydiving somewhere. I'm going to find somewhere scenic and do like a skydiving. And I want to step on stage. Yeah.
Awesome.
That's my plan.
All right. I'll be there. All of it.
Jamaica skydive. She's going to skydive into Jamaica.
Jamaica is like one of my favorite places on the planet. That's all I have to say about that. And number two, yes, I would skydive with you. Yeah.
Yeah. I know you would. Yeah.
It's traumatizing, but yeah, but you need to do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Big things. Just let me know if you need ideas about crazy things to do. So I'm really good at I'm really not good at things in life, but this one I'm really good at.
Really good at.
I can stay in my lane of craziness.
And she can count to 50.
Scared. I'm actually already scared. I'm scared to have the conversation with
right.
you.
I'm always scared of myself. That's my superpower is crazy. That's what Brian tells me.
I love that.
Superpower is crazy.
Recovering.
Oh.
They're good until Monday. Then they're coming off again.
I got my first pedicure since April a couple days ago. It was glorious because all my toenails are pretty much grown back.
Okay.
It's been, you know, it's kind of. So I took my daughter.
She was getting like 30% off at those pedicures lately. I was so embarrassed. I would never go. Seven toenails.
I was missing a lot for a while. But they're all there. One of them is just like half a one. So I told the guy, he's like looking at my foot. I'm like, yeah, just do the best you can. You're good. You're just don't
no,
even.
No one's judging you on that toe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, you.
By the way, you were a conversation with me. With some of my friends, and I was like, I don't know, was Toby about the toenails?
I've never had that type of foot catastrophe before in my life. It was bad. Like, don't
you've never ran 100 kilometers.
No, miles. Yeah.
A mile.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's easy.
Oh, 100K. We can do that. We can do 100K.
Part of my Canadian. My Canadian went to kilometers versus the miles. Right. Yes.
I don't even know the kilometers in 100 miles. What is that?
My son dropped a weight on his toe once. It was like just a little dumbbell, like a 5 or 10 pounder, but it broke his toe. You know, he was a young kid, and his toenail came off. I'm like, don't worry about it. The toenail fairy comes. So we put the toenail fairy under his pillow at night, and I gave him $5 for it. You know, it was like,
That's disgusting.
But you know, now like when we'll run a marathon, every once in a while I'll lose one too. And he's like, Dad, toenail fairy come for that? And I say, yeah, no problem.
Oh,
come on. We got to have fun.
Yeah. Anything for money. I'll rip my toenails off for $100.
Anything for money, except for that.
Oh, my gosh. So tell our listeners now, all right, with the podcast, you've had some pretty good success. So how long have you been podcasting now?
So it's interesting. I'm going to ask you, because you guys are like pretty big in the production and everything. What do you consider podcast success?
Ours is having fun. That's number one.
Keep showing up. You're successful. That's for me. That's it. I rarely look at like numbers or downloads or things like that. And they're there, but, you know,
we also consider success that we have not gotten in a huge fight and like ripped our marketing material in half. So there's like a
That's
little
right.
like jagged.
There's two of us in the logo.
Thing.
It's like,
yeah, because you've been doing it longer. You've been doing it for 4 years about, right?
Yeah.
Over 4 years.
Like almost, I think 250 episodes in. So we do okay. one a week.
So you're way more pros. Yeah. So for me, it's been great. I love it. I started with my iPhone and some headphones and then progressed from there. Small steps.
It's the greatest medium.
It's a lot of fun, isn't it?
It's just so much fun. I mean, here we are having a conversation, right? Even if we were sitting at a table, you know, at a restaurant right now, at least one of us would have checked our phones by now. And that hasn't happened yet. So that's a good thing. What are the topics? What do you cover on the show? What's the format of it?
Yeah. So it's Empowered in My Skin. You know, I'll give you a perfect example. Interviewed your co-star here. And really my desire was, there was something, I mean, from the time I met her on the panel, it's just like, that is an empowered human. And the whole reason why I'm empowered for me is the word, because you know, the whole empowered humans empower humans. And so my whole thing is about finding the lead dominoes in this world. And so Christine, you are a lead domino for empowerment, right? And that's how you create sustainable change is, you know, you are empowered, you empower somebody else, and they in turn will do the same to somebody else. And it just continues going from there. And so that's the whole premise is we scope the world for empowered humans. And then we reach out and say, hey,
tell us what you know. I love it.
Tell us what you know, what you do, and how did you get to this level of empowerment? Because I would say, most people that dare to put themselves out there come from some type of no excuse, like, you know, they're unstoppable. It's like no excuse mindset, and they have a story to tell. And so, yeah, we just hunt this. We hunt those empowering stories.
And that's awesome. I love it, too. I generally feel that type of person usually has some, you know, some not baggage, but they've had some things that they've had to overcome, or else there's just no empowering.
There's no empowering.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you gotta, Christine said, kick down or whatever it is, but you gotta have some scrapes on your knees if you're gonna be making a turn like that, living a life like that. And sometimes there are people that are very motivational, and you know, and we're perhaps born like that. You know, leadership, is it nature, nurture? You know, how does it come about? And you know, but I'm not to say that I'm bored with people that don't have a screwed up past, but like I just know like the college degree, the graduate degree that comes from having, you know, that you know, the messiness of the past.
Having to had to jump off a cliff a couple of times and not know if the parachute's gonna open, right? You know, sorry, go on.
I was gonna say that I don't hang out with people that are normal.
No,
like I have a criteria. Like this has been a long time since I brought this up, but I liked, and no, you know, this is no slight to you. I love you tons, but I really consider myself and my wolf pack to be people that live on the island of the misfit toys. Right?
Did you say your wolf pack?
Yeah, the like wolf it's pack, my wolf pack. We travel
yeah,
together.
Your tribe.
My whatever. My posse. that's what it is. It's if you're like, you know, if you're straight thinking and just linear narrow and whatnot, it, yeah. I don't understand. You gotta have a little bit of crazy. I don't get it.
I don't even know if it's crazy. Like, how do we know that all them other people aren't the crazies and we're the normals?
That's what I tell myself every day when I get up.
There you go.
You're just crazy to not want to be all out there. And like, it's just...
Like, society is crazy, yeah, right? Like, if you're, like, you know, aspiring to be, like, a, you know, a general issue member of society, then that's, like, crazy.
I'm looking at my phone only because I always do
quotes
of the days.
You did it.
No. But I'm doing it for a reason. So I always look at a quote of the day, right? Today, my favorite was, be all in or get all out. There's no halfway.
Right. That's it, right?
So you're no going 100% crazy.
Don't half-ass it. Don't half-ass. Don't half-ass. I think about my life. There was a half-ass time frame. You know what I mean? And like when you get over to that point, and I think it comes down to is when you realize, like when you like figure out why you're here, it's like the best thing on the planet. And then just get in the business of doing it. But you know, I was going to say earlier, another reason why I love podcasting is so network, right? You hear it often. Your network is your net worth, and I think networking is such a it's important. It's a huge. There's just an industry of networking. You got to get in with it. But better than networking and networking on steroids is being a super connector. Mm-hmm. And super connector are people like us who get to interview great people, and we're great. And so great people interviewing great people that can then introduce great people to great people. And it's just that like it just gives you another platform of an extended network of opportunity to introduce other people to other people to do great things in the world. I think it's phenomenal.
But, super connector.
Yeah, well, that's us. I feel like I should plug myself in at night.
Right?
And that's what it's always, you know, that's what like this thing, you know, people will ask sometimes about, you know, compensation and how much, you know, that's what downloads are even like looking for and all those things. I can't, you know, there's, I guess, some value in it, but I've never looked at it like that because the greatest value of all are the relationships, the connections.
That you get to hang out with me.
The networking.
Yeah. Oh, that wasn't what you were going to say?
Yeah. No. Christine, you're the lucky one there.
That's true.
All right? It's not me. It's you. but, you know, like all those connections, I mean, geez, if I ever tried to monetize that, I'm very wealthy and I'm very successful.
Yeah. Your net worth.
Yeah. And so it's just been, and even people who have said like, oh yeah, I connected with him through your show. And I'm like, I don't know either of you. I had the one guy on the show, you know, and then somebody else listened to it and connected because of that, you know, great. but it's a lot of fun. And we get to have fun, right? I guess that's the point. It's a lot of fun. And we live a good life because of it.
I have a question.
So do you typically interview people that one of you knows, or you sometimes you're interviewing someone that neither of you?
You want me to explain this one?
Go for it.
Christine's a sniper. She goes onto like the social media and she's like, I want to talk to that person right there. And then she like snipes them from the bell tower, gets them on the show. She'll reach out to anybody. She's got no fear.
Okay.
Yeah. She's got no fear in reaching out to anybody and saying, I got something for you. Which is an important part of the show, right? We give people value and platform and things like that, that, you know, that they can, let's do it. But just like that, you know, it's like, you know, catchy, like I was excited because Christine was so excited, right? I had never met you before. We exchanged some emails. I could tell you're, you know, an exuberant person, and you had some spice to you. And I was like, all right, this is going to be a great time because Christine's excited, and I did listen to the show that you guys did about your Christine's toenails, and you know it's just great. So,
yeah.
Well, my question is this. For, you know, Brian was talking before about, you know, some people talk to us and they're like, well, what's your analytics and what's your this and what's your that? Mm-hmm. For us, our lives.
I don't know.
Well, yeah. I'm like, I could tell you. I mean, there's a lot of people. What's a lot? Like you said, what's success? Yeah. What's a lot? Yeah. What does it mean? And, you know, we started out not for, hey, we're going to make a lot of money. It was like we're starting out to spread a message, to have a voice because we see the need for other people to lift them up, to empower them, exactly what you do. And what's crazy is that our lives have really, I mean, really changed. We both had, you know, I made it careers in our lives. You know, this is my third I made it career in my life.
Yes,
and and I think that there's something to be said for people who want a podcast or they want to get into fitness or they want to get into any business out there.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, what's the number one thing that, you know, what's the piece of advice you'd give? And I'm always like, you have to network. Life is about relationships.
Yeah.
And that's the opportunity that has, you know, arrived for us because people do know us. People do know the show. They know that we can help them with whatever it is that they're looking for or connect them with someone. That's invaluable. Like people pay lots and lots of money and, or they don't even realize how important relationships are. So I guess my question is, how has your life changed in any way since you started podcasting? Because it's gotta be something.
Oh my gosh. So much. So first of all, I mean, there's tons of people that I've had the pleasure of sitting down to talk to that the podcast provides just that excuse. Provides that opportunity, right? It's an easy thing. And people typically like to talk about themselves. And so if your lead into them is, as I'm talking about myself, if your lead into them is interesting and intriguing, then that's the hook, right? And then the value is a lot about what you learn. And so from a personal perspective, one of the skill sets that I've desperately wanted to improve on is my ability to listen. Like active listening. And that has improved because of this, right? Like that was one of the things I said, okay, I'm going to just do this, but I don't want to just do like, what skills do I want to? And it's improved that. I think also it's deepened my purpose, you know, in terms of, you know, why I'm here in this world and what I plan to do with my life and this, that, the other. And I think for me, because I've even have formed a team around me that helps and supports the podcast, like a little bit of a production team, it's given other people purpose. It's given them things to do and a community to be a part of. And that's awesome too, right? It's, I think all of that is service. And then just to know that you're serving the world, like you're serving the world with great empowering content. You know, I don't push out anything that's really this negative on my platform. And it's all with the intended to help people feel good. It's our birthright to feel good. And so, it's an extension of me. And I think it's just, that feels good. It feels good, you know? So
now you got me thinking as to whether or not I should edit that beef that I have with Drake, because that's kind of negative. Am I putting that out in the world?
That's okay. Hey,
I'm kidding.
This is all I always say. We always have to. I think everyone deserves to speak their truth for sure. Truth. I think understanding is the truth we stand under. I would say though that, and I know that you say it in jest, right?
Like, I know.
You can't really have beef with somebody that you don't know.
So, I just want them to at me. I just want them to at Two Fit Crazies on Twitter. That's all, Drake.
so our maybe, SEO maybe increases.
Maybe that is what's going to happen.
It's all about relationships.
Drake's people are going to reach out to you and say, that's Drake wants to be on Two Fit Crazies.
And Doris Burke. Love her.
with Doris.
Yeah. My neighbor.
Oh my gosh. What is happening?
I don't know.
Seriously.
You never know, but you never know, right? You never know what happens.
I want to know this. Tell me some of your favorite guests. Me excluded. Excluded. some of your favorite conversations.
I think it'll shock you. Yeah.
Okay.
So let me, But my first guest ever was my husband.
Okay.
You know? And so, Dev, and I'm not just saying that because, baby, I know you want to hear. No, no. He was my favorite because how often do you get to really sit down and interview your husband? You know? And I mean, I talked to him, but to like interview him in a way where I was truly actively listening.
I'm sorry. That's really
like the first time ever. No, just kidding. But to hear his pride in talking about what he does and who he is as a person, that felt really good. So I have to touch on that. I also interviewed my best friend. That was my first live show. And so my best friend is Julie Black, and she's a Canadian. She's like our Canadian R&B. She's our queen of R&B. She actually just got inducted to the Canadian Walk of Fame. So she's she's everything. She's an awesome, amazing singer, you know, actress and just
Julie,
awesome.
Julie, I will be contacting you very soon.
Yeah, she's phenomenal. Phenomenal. Julie, J-U-L-L-Y, for every fan that spells it J-U-L-I-E. I can't stand that. But anyway, so it was just more awesome because, again, somebody that I've known for like 25 years. And I think in both cases, I was very alive because I could tell I was nervous, like with my husband and even with, like, just, I was, because I really wanted to do them well. Like, you know what I mean? I wanted to ask the right questions to bring out the best in them. But beyond that, I would say Chloe Wilde, you know, had the opportunity. She's an ETalk correspondent, and she has met so many, like she's red carpet interviewed so many amazing people. And just to, and not only that, she's just an amazing soul sister. We actually went on a trip to Africa. It was Me to We trip. So we served in Kenya, and the Property Brothers were there as well. So that was pretty awesome. And so got to know her a bit, but then got to really know her on the podcast. Who else was there? God, I have so many. Like, it's really, really, yeah. It's a tough one. But so I have the most amazing story. I think it's amazing. So I have this video that went viral around the world. And it's all around You Matter. That's the message that I was delivering, but the Gold Cast plastered a very different theme to the video called Does Mispronouncing My Name Matter? So anyway, so this video went viral around the world. Gold Cast, which you probably know about Gold Cast, has put it on their platform a number of times. And back in March, they put it on their platform. I didn't know. I woke up in the morning and I looked at I just logged into Instagram like sometime in the morning. And I saw that I had all these new, what is it when people start to follow. I was like, why did my following go up like 1,000 people? Right. So I was scrolling down and then I finally find this message that I was tagged on. And so I went and looked at the message and it was this actress from Nollywood, like a Nollywood actress from Nigeria. For those of you that don't know, Nollywood is like the second biggest, I think, after Bollywood and then Hollywood. And so this actress and she posted the Goldcast video on her platform. And so I reached out to her and I was like, oh my God, first of all, thank you for sharing the message. And she responded back to me. She's like, she had these monkey faces. She's like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I can't believe it's you. And I'm like, you're the one with 2 million followers. But it's okay. I'll take that. So she was sharing with me that she actually just did a pageant. Like she ran, like it was an event in Nigeria, in Lagos, like in the capital. And it's called the Kate pageant. And the whole theme of it was really around self-love and women just loving themselves, because there's a huge pandemic around women not loving their melanin and bleaching their skin. Mm-hmm. So skin bleaching. And she just felt that message really talked about that self-love and the magic that really comes from it after, you know, once you really connect to that and that you matter, like who you are matters without anything else added to it. And anyway, all of that then led to her becoming a guest on my podcast. And I don't know if you know, but like Nigeria has like 270 million people. It's the sixth most populous country in the world. Wow. Interview one prominent Nigerian and your podcast could take off like that, you know? And
Christine,
I'm writing that down.
Take note of that. Call Nigeria.
Well, you got have it. Them right here.
Brazil. Yeah, all of them.
Yeah, right? The whole Nigerian community so that was, so she was an amazing.
Very cool. I can't wait to watch the video.
Hashtag Nigeria.
Just hashtag Nigeria.
Whole country. We're fine. We're good. Right? That's how
think
that works,
about it.
Right?
Like if you, I always said, if I figure out one amazing idea that every Nigerian pays $1 for, I'm a multimillionaire.
You're good. You could just quit everything.
I could quit everything.
You could just podcast because we're not going to quit podcasting.
Exactly.
Sell one podcast. Maybe sell one podcast for a dollar to every Nigerian buys it.
Yeah.
All right.
No, that's it. You need to, yeah.
I'll go in with you on that.
Right? Isn't that how that guy, who's that guy from, remember from Asia, the dance that.
Ooh, Gangnam Style.
Oh, Gangnam Style. Yeah.
Psy. P-S-Y, right?
One song.
Yeah, that guy, he's relaxing right now.
Right? Where, 1 billion people.
Where is he?
Every day is like that video.
He doesn't need to be. He could do whatever he wants.
I had a daughter who wanted to play that every single day. And it was banned. That song was banned from my household.
She said had a daughter. Like that request sent her over the tip, you know.
She may be around somewhere still. You know what? Actually, today, fun fact. We get to the bus stop. I walk. Mom, you want to come with me to the bus stop? All right, cool. Go to the bus stop. After I had to, her outfit was not appropriate at first, and we changed it, right? So now we're on time for the bus stop. We get to the bus stop. Mom, yeah, I don't have a mask. I'm like,
oh yeah.
Because here
masks.
You have to wear a mask on the bus.
Mask in the bus.
I don't have a mask.
School.
Okay, I have 3 minutes to sprint down my block
into my
house, sprint back. That was. You know what?
She did a spin and the Wonder Woman outfit went on and it was just like, mask.
Did you make it back? Just in time for the bus. Okay. With a whole handful of masks. And I was like, no. That's how my morning goes.
As a dad, who gets the kids on the bus every morning, I have a tip for you. Stuff a few of those in the book bag right now.
So many in there, and she just she's her own woman. She's very, you know, if she
very
could ride, she could ride a unicorn to school. She would like put it that way. You know, I'm not worried.
Does Wonder Woman's child need a mask? Mm-hmm. One time, Muhammad Ali was on an airplane, and the stewardess came over and said. Mr. Ali, will you please fasten your seatbelt? And he said, Superman don't need no seatbelt. And she looked at him and said, Superman don't need no plane either, Mr. Ali. Please fasten your seatbelt.
Zing.
That's a good one. That's right. That's a good one. I've never heard that one before.
Oh, I like a good anecdote like that.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Oh, my gosh. All right. We could go on forever, but you know what I need from you is to tell all of our listeners, after they like and subscribe and listen to the Two Fit Crazies in a Microphone podcast, all that fun stuff, they have got to find out more information about you and what you're doing to be empowered
in my skin. Sure. So it's pretty easy. So empowered in my skin. Mm-hmm. Got the rights to that. So that's the website. That is our Instagram. My personal Instagram, you just kind of can follow it from there. But I'm also as on LinkedIn. That's where I would say I have a heavy presence just because of what I do corporately. Those would be the best places. So Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, I guess.
Yeah. All the hot spots.
All the hot spots.
Got it.
Like, I don't Twitter.
You don't tweet.
I don't tweet. I don't. What's that other thing? TikTok. I don't tick.
There's too many of them now.
I don't tick. I don't talk.
It takes so much time much effort and so many millennial skills that I just would rather put them into relationships as opposed to dancing around in, you know, to Gangnam Style, you know, with pom poms and. Who the heck knows what else? Oh, geez. It has been so much fun to connect with you again and get you on the show. You have an open invitation anytime, you know, come back, come talk to us at some point. We'll have to check in with you and your progress. Amazing.
Getting ready for a competition. Yeah, I want to know about your race too this weekend.
Yeah, it's a soul
job. Congratulations. That's awesome. But congrats. It's awesome. That's not a small feat. And I, I was very impressed when I heard you mentioning that you're going to be running the Boston Marathon. Wow.
She's the real deal.
It's fun.
You are.
It's fun.
You, no, minimize. No, it is great. It is an honor. It is the bomb. It is something that like only 1% of the world does. Like, it's like, and even at that, this is generous. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Well, appreciate it. Appreciate it. You know, we're all fit crazies. We're all trying to change the world and inspire and empower others. Just one day, one little feat at a time. That's
one
it.
One podcast episode.
That's it.
I love it.
All right. So with that said, it is Christine Conti.
And I'm Brian Prendergast.
And we are two fit crazies.
And a microphone.
We are where it's at.
Peace.